Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya
Krishna Vishaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurani Vacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vachatyare Satarine
In our attempt to enter into the real Vrindavan, we will now follow a sequence of verses spoken by the gopis. Vrindavanam Sakhi Bhavo Vitano Tikirtim. Sakhi is used. One gopi addresses her Sakhi girlfriend by saying, O friend, Vrindavan is spreading the glory of the earth. Having obtained the treasure of the lotus feet of Krishna, the son of Devaki, the peacocks dance madly when they hear Govinda's flute, and when other creatures see them from the hilltops, they all become stunned. It is sometimes said, this universe is glorious because the planet Earth is here, which offers the best opportunity for self-realization. But this Earth is glorious because there is Bharatvarsha, the place where many, many sacred tirthas are. Tirthas, you have to know, means to cross over. Tirtha is something like a bridge from the material to the spiritual world. So it's glorious, the planet Earth, because we have India, Bharatvarsha, with so many tirthas. And amongst all the tirthas, Vrindavan is the most glorious of all tirthas. Once the tirthas assembled to find out who is the most glorious of all of them, and they voted for Prayag. But then the Purana said, no, you have not considered Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the most glorious of all places because Krishna puts his footprints there. So then all the tirthas said sorry and they went to Vrindavan and surrendered to the lotus feet of Vrindavan. Now can we do this as long as the little, the middle daughter who will take care of our boys is not there? Maybe one of the mothers can volunteer.
They went She went already down.
Because this is what we in our we need to, when we sit together to hear nectar, we need to create the right atmosphere. You can't, for instance, worship Krishna so nicely when the kirtan is just so too noisy. It doesn't work. Cannot concentrate when there's unnecessary diversion. So, thank you very much. Now a special feature is given about Vrindavan, about which I wanted to talk a little bit. Here the peacocks dance madly when they hear Govinda's flute, and when other creatures see them from the hilltops, they all become stunned. Krishna is known as being decorated by a peacock feather which is on his head. This peacock feather came there by a very special leela. See, Krishna in his earthly leela, human-like leela, accepts also different gurus. this. Of course, Sandipani Muni, who teaches him in all the 64 arts. But then he takes also other forms of gurus, shiksha gurus. One of such shiksha gurus is the peacock. From Shastra we hear that there are three types of shiksha guru. The first type of shiksha guru is someone is it's for instance things in nature, like the bee or birds can teach us different things. Isn't it some here in Vrindavan we see so many animals and sometimes they do have a lesson for us. The Avadhuta Brahmana once saw two hawks fighting in the sky, killing themselves almost. Then one of the hawks let go, not hawks, but hawks. Do I say it correctly? Yeah, birds. One of the hawks who was attacked let go of the meat, and the other hawk said, "Yoo-hoo!" and was diving in the air to get this piece of meat, and the fight stopped. So our Avadhuta Brahmana said, the bird was my shiksha guru because he taught me that detachment saves one from misery. This is the first type of shiksha guru. He's not so glorious because, but he's there. The second type of shiksha guru, which we can accept, is the one who instructs us about the scriptures, and the third one, in a general way, and the third one is the one who gives us specific instructions how to improve our devotional service. So Krishna has also a shiksha guru, the peacock. These peacocks, they teach him the arts of dancing. Krishna was a very good pupil, the best pupil. He learned the dancing art so well that once when he was at the foot of Govardhan Hill, he took out his flute and began to blow on his flute so melodiously. Then he started to dance while playing on the flute. And the peacocks were just amazed and saw how he was imbibing all the good qualities of the dance. He was really good in it. And then they became so satisfied that they offered their most valuable possession, that is, a feather. So Krishna did something with this feather. He valued the feather by sticking the feather into his own turban. When you value the gift of someone, you will take it and touch your head with it. Oops. So Krishna also, you won't, when someone gives you something valuable, you won't put it in. Where you sit down in the pocket, it's a pocket where you sit down. You will you will put it at some place which is very valuable. So Krishna stuck this peacock feather on the turban where his head is, in this way appreciating the gift of his dear devotee Sri Peacock. Yes. Peacocks dance madly when they hear Govinda's flute, and when other creatures see them from the hilltops, they all become stunned. Yes. Yeah, they all come together around Krishna, make a nice concert when Krishna plays his flute, and everyone who sees it just becomes extremely happy. So we hear, in other words, now how Krishna, in Vrindavan Dham, interacts with his loving devotees. And we start with Sri Peacocks. Now we will go to Govardhan Hill. Of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. Oh, my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram, along with their calves, cows, and cowherd friends, with all kinds of necessities. What does the... Here we learn that Govardhan Hill worships Krishna by worshipping the devotees of Krishna. He gives the calves, cows, and cowherd friends all kinds of necessities. That is, water for drinking, very soft grass, caves. Caves are giving a cool atmosphere during the summer and a warm atmosphere during the winter. Fruits, flowers, and sabjis, vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respects to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. Hare Krishna. They're very happy because it is touched. I think the Govardhan Hill also offers all of us a very special lesson. During the Govardhan Leela, a very interesting other small Leela took place, which I would like to recite to you because it's very relevant to us. See, after some time, when Krishna was holding the hill for 7 days non-stop, he actually used his left hand, and from the left hand, his left pinky. Now, there is a very confidential meaning in this. When Krishna used... why didn't he use his right hand? Is a good question. I mean, usually when you are doing something important, you use your right hand. You write with your right hand. And he was doing the most important thing. He was protecting his devotees from the rain. Why didn't he use his right hand? That's a good question, isn't it? And why, from the left hand, he used what was most left? My question to you is, who's on the left side of Krishna? Radharani, of course. So Radharani is the Adi Shakti, the original energy. Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill by his own Shakti, which is Srimati Radharani. And to acknowledge this, Krishna used what was most left, that is his left pinky. This is the pinky. In this way, he glorified Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani ki jai. This is an explanation offered by the acharyas who are absorbed in Radha Bhav, who see and want to see Srimati Radharani everywhere. A nice explanation, isn't it? Now, the cowherd boys, after some time, they thought, Krishna must be getting tired. 7 days, non-stop. And they started to massage Krishna's arm so that the circulation would not be endangered. And is everything all right, Gopal? Yes, yes. So they massaged him. And then they thought, this was towards the end, when already all the residents of Vrindavan had gone out underneath the Govardhan Hill. You know, the Leela was ending. Krishna said, you can all go, I will hold it a little longer. Then the cowherd boys stayed up till the end, and they said, you must be now very tired, Gopal. We will now carry the hill for you. And they took all their sticks and hold the sticks like this. Now Gopal, Krishna, in order to show them that they didn't have the Shakti, transferred half of the weight of the Govardhan on their sticks. They all were like, falling down. Gopal, save us, save us. And in this way, Krishna taught his dear devotees that without his energy, one cannot do anything. If we think we are the doers, and we can do something very wonderful, then Krishna has showed with this Leela that it's not possible. Do you follow? So I think this is very nice for us, especially as we are in Vrindavan. Don't become a liar in Vrindavan, saying, I preached last year. This is not correct. Krishna was using you in his mission. Don't become a liar in Vrindavan by saying, I came to Vrindavan. It is not correct. Krishna brought you to Vrindavan. This is a right understanding of a bhakta, that everything happens due to the inconceivable energy of Lord Krishna. This is one of the biggest source of miseries in devotional service, when you start to say, I did this, or due to my activities, this happened. I made the bhakti shastri. It is not correct. Krishna is the source of your intelligence. And he will be also the source of your forgetfulness when you cannot answer a question. Oh, I've forgotten. This is very, very necessary understanding in devotional service. This is how you can remain Krishna conscious, by always giving credit to the Shakti, to the energy of Lord Krishna. If you forget, you will be crushed. Hare Krishna. So let us go on. In the company of Balaram and the cowherd boys, Lord Krishna is continuously vibrating his flute as he herds all the animals of Braj, even under the full heat of the summer sun. Seeing this, the cloud in the sky has expanded himself out of love. He is rising high and constructing out of his own body with its multitude of flower-like droplets of water an umbrella for the sake of his friend. We can just imagine Krishna making his flute concert in Vrindavan, and it's getting very hot. The summer is so hot that our Goswamis used to dig holes into the earth and stayed in caves, which were sometimes up to 3, 4, 5 meters deep. Thank you. Please keep the other candles in eye. So that there would be sufficient shade, cloud by means brother cloud, came and made a wonderful nice and shady umbrella over Krishna's head, so that Krishna could continue playing on his flute undisturbed. This brings us into a very interesting meditation, and that is that even seemingly unconscious objects like the cloud do have consciousness. Bhakti Charu Maharaj once quoted from Shastra a very, very nice example. He spoke of the pillow. The pillow was always at the head of the Lord. The Lord rested on it. So once the pillow had heard a glorification from the scriptures about the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And the pillow developed the desire to also be rested at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Why am I always at the head? The lotus feet of the Lord and the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord is nicer for the devotees, because we approach the Lord's feet in a humble way. So one night the Sri Pillow decided to move down to the lotus feet and give support to the lotus feet of the Lord, because he wanted to have the dust of the lotus feet on his body. What I'm getting at is that even seemingly unconscious objects, like a pillow, are full of consciousness. In Vrindavan, nothing is unconscious. Everything is permeated with a wonderful consciousness, and the expression of that consciousness is, let me do service for Krishna. When we talk of the Vrindavan atmosphere, when we talk about what is the qualification to stay in Vrindavan or to come to Vrindavan by leaving the mental platform, we must come to the understanding that we serve in Vrindavan. Everyone here is permeated with the service consciousness, and those who are not coming in the mood of service are personally taken by Lord Shiva and escorted out of Vrindavan. There is no place for you non-servitor in Vrindavan. This is the secret of the Vrindavan consciousness. This is also the secret of relish of higher states of Krishna consciousness. Many times devotees are interested now in concepts as Gopi Bhava and in concepts like spontaneous devotional service. And I think it is good if devotees are studying our glorious tradition, and if they want to eventually also see that these things color themselves or impress them. So that they do devotional service not just out of duty but out of love. If you do devotional service out of duty or out of fear, it is not yet totally spiritual, because duty is impelled from the mental platform and the intellectual platform. We want to do our devotional service out of love, which is impelled by the soul proper. It's very important when we approach these wonderful and exalted subjects that we understand the essence as it applies to us. The Vrindavan consciousness or the Gopi Bhava consciousness is that they are prepared to do everything for Krishna. That's why Govardhan is described to be the best of servitors, because he gives his body to Krishna. Krishna walks over him, takes Sanatana Goswami says, on the Govardhan hill, the rivers are sometimes made of fruit juices. So Krishna drinks that service, accepts the service, Govardhan's fruit cocktail, juice streams. And in this way, yes, when we want to enter this, let us think, we want to also serve, we want to do this. So, yes, Hare Krishna. Don't know why I said this, let me see. Yes, so here the cloud, brother cloud, is doing service by shading Lord Krishna so that he can play his flute in the summertime. Even unconscious objects are permeated with this, penetrated. I don't know if this is exactly correct. They are imbued or full with the desire to serve. Even the cloud makes an umbrella. So we have, please, my dear devotees, we will keep your mind very absorbed. We enter now the Vrindavan meditation through service, and we are given a few examples of great servitors, the peacocks, the Govardhan hill, then we hear of the cloud who serves Krishna. Now we will hear what the rivers do. We should maybe close the lights there. When the rivers hear the flute song of Krishna, their minds begin to desire him, and thus the flow of their currents is broken, and their waters are agitated, moving around in whirlpools. Then with the arms of their waves, the rivers embrace Murari's lotus feet, and holding on to them, present offerings of lotus flowers. We hear a description of this in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Listen to this description.
Gokumar was staying in the village of Vrindavan. He was sitting on the steps of the palace of Nanda Maharaj, and he observed all the residents of Vrindavan singing the glories of Krishna as if totally absent-minded. Krishna had gone out of Vrindavan to herd the cows in the meadows, and they were doing their different activities, but absent-minded. We hear that how they were sometimes doing gross mistakes, like churning in a yogurt pot, and there was no yogurt in. But they were really thinking so much of Krishna and not of Sri Yogurt that they just didn't have the proper arrangements for making butter. Anyways, then Sanatana Goswami describes beautifully. All of a sudden, there was a commotion, and it means movement, in the village of Vrindavan. Everyone started to leave the village of Vrindavan because they had heard the beautiful flute song of Lord Krishna. And they looked towards the horizon where a big cloud was coming. This was a cloud of dust, because there were so many billions and trillions of cows that they were all rising the dust, which was going very high. At that moment they saw a wonder. They saw how the demigods came diving down into this dust cloud to get the dust on the head, which had been, which was mixed with Krishna's foot. And then they saw how the river Yamuna stopped flowing and going back into the opposite direction to flow towards the direction of Krishna. And Gop Kumar was so much happy, he ran with the residents of Vrindavan into the direction of this cloud, and then he actually saw how from out of the dust cloud Krishna came dancing beautifully while he was playing on his lovely flute. He saw also Balaram there. Then Krishna saw Gop Kumar. Then Krishna became very moved and he started to run. And Gop Kumar also started to run towards Krishna. And in the middle, Krishna caught Gop Kumar in his arms and embraced him. Krishna couldn't say anything. He just said, "Where have you been? Where have you been? I was waiting so long for you." And then Krishna cried and fell on the ground of Braj, and with his own tears he made the ground of Braj muddy. Yes. Then all the cowherd boys came, and then the gopis came. The gopis started to cry, thinking that Gop Kumar might be a demon who was trying to kill Krishna. Now everyone was surrounding Krishna. Krishna was going, with tears of love, they were falling down from his eyes. And then Balaram, who knew the situation, he went to Gop Kumar and said, "Come with me and touch with your hand the chest of Krishna. This will pacify you." And then he must say in his ear, "Krishna, Krishna." And then Krishna will wake up from his loving swoon. It's called ecstatic swoon. So this worked, the treatment. And Krishna, it worked. And Krishna woke up. And then when he saw everyone looking at him, he became embarrassed and shy. It's so, so nicely described. But our point was the river Yamuna stopped its flow and began to flow the opposite way. And River Yamunaji also, this is what we hear is here, the river Yamuna has hands. What are the hands of Yamuna?
Waves.
The waves. And what are the offerings of the Yamuna? Flowers, the lotus flowers, yes. The Yamuna comes with the waves, and then sometimes Krishna is playing on his flute. The waves come and they also want to touch the lotus feet of the Lord. In Jagannath Puri, we had also an experience how the ocean of Puri is also a conscious being. The ocean of Puri has personally shown me how he is a conscious being. And you must know, one of my anattas is, I do not like to take millions of baths because it takes so much time to always dry yourself and so on and so forth. So I take the 2 baths a day or the minimum required baths a day. So I was arriving in the evening in Puri, but it was late, and I knew that Lord Chaitanya had said when you come to Puri, he always sent his devotees to bathe in the ocean. That was the first thing. So I was also going to the ocean, but I had put it in my mind, I've taken already so many baths and I want to chant. And so I'm from the ocean, from the German ocean, so I know about oceans quite well. So I sat at a secure distance from the ocean to chant the rounds. But the ocean didn't think it is proper to not take a bath. And I had just closed my eyes, and there was a lot of distance, and happily chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then I opened my eyes, and all of a sudden I saw a huge wave coming my direction. And I was just smiling at this. Hari Bol, I said. And then the wave went up till here. And when I came home to the hotel, I looked like a little child who had not controlled a certain muscle. Dodi was all wet and so on. I just laughed and said, okay, I surrender. Yes, these are, even in holy dams, the waters are conscious beings. Here we hear how Yamunaji is serving Lord Krishna. Okay, we will hear one more verse and then we will. Now we will hear about the cows. When the cows, so we go from rain cloud to river, little higher, now we will go to the cows. How they relate to Lord Krishna. See, this. Do you understand the logic of this meditation? How we are now taught how all living entities relate to Krishna. What is the natural effect of hearing this? You will also think, I also have my relationship to Krishna. I'm a conscious being. I must do something about this. And then, when you chant like this, I have a relationship to Krishna, then only your chanting gets life. We hear this, when you chant, you need to be established in what is called Sambandha Jnana, the knowledge of relationship. Then Krishna responds. Prabhupada tells us how a very simple meditation about in this realm of relationship, like a child has a relationship to the mother, a relationship of dependence. The sadhaka has a relationship of dependence and cries out the holy name like a child who cries for the protection of the mother. Right? We have heard this. So we hear different relationships now. And that everyone, even the cloud, has a relationship. What to speak of Bhakta Mark? what to speak of Kishori and Syama Priya? What to speak of a little boy? Anyone has a relationship. And also, this is how we meditate. Now, okay, what do the cows have for as a relationship? When the cows wander onto the mountainsides, and Krishna calls out to them with the sound of his flute, the trees and creepers. Oh, we are not yet at the cows. I'm wrong. We are the trees and creepers. The trees and creeper in the forest respond by becoming so luxuriant with fruits and flowers that they seem to be manifesting Lord Vishnu within their hearts. In their branches, as their branches bend low with the weight, the filaments on their trunks and vines stand erect out of the ecstasy of love of God. And both the trees and the creepers pour down a rain of sweet sap. Now this is a little complicated. It's very Krishna. So Krishna calls his cows with his flute, and naturally the trees hear it. And the trees at this moment show ecstatic symptoms, as if Vishnu is in their hearts. See, this is very significant. Only when Krishna is in your heart can you show real symptoms of a devotee. Look at the kirtan. When you feel enlivened, singing before the deities, dancing before the deities, because Krishna has entered your heart, then you dance and you jump and you shout Jai Radhe. But if your heart is so dark and gloomy and modern, then there is no manifestation of signs of ecstasy. Here, the trees in the forest are seen to be manifesting Lord Vishnu within their hearts. What is the symptoms? First of all, they are so ecstatic, they offer their branch, the fruits to Krishna. Their branches bend low to the ground. I think we spoke about this already. And the vines stand erect out of ecstasy of love of God. It's just like the hair. The vines are like these little creepers. They stand erect, boom, boom, out of ecstatic love of God. And then they begin to cry tears of ecstasy. That is, sweet sap comes. Dear devotees, you must start constructing a temple in your heart where you can invite Krishna, that you won't be dry and drier and finally the desert Sahara, you are becoming enlivened in Krishna consciousness. Just like the trees who were so enlivened by this flute sound that they meditated about Krishna in their tree hearts. The tree heart is somewhere in the roots. There Lord Vishnu was manifesting, Krishna was manifesting out of spontaneous Krishna consciousness. And they began to do three things. They did service voluntarily. Here, Krishna, come by, take my fruits. Then their hair stood erect in ecstasy. And then they cried. We also want to cry tears of loving joy and loving ecstasy. This is the decoration which is good for a devotee. No need of lipsticks. No need of shminka. No need of nice new glasses and interesting new neck beads and whatever. And the best ornament is our tears for Krishna. Oh, Krishna. This was said by a person who has a desert instead of a heart. Hare Krishna. But I'm repeating information. Lord, one singer says, "My dear Lord, you made a mistake in creating me. Instead of putting a heart into my chest, you have unfortunately put a stone there. This is your only mistake in the creation. You have not given me a heart, but a stone."
Mistake.
That's how a devotee laments. Yes, Hare Krishna. And it goes on. From the trees it goes to the bees. From the bees it goes to the cranes and swans and lake-dwelling birds. Then it goes to the forest birds. Then it goes to the deer. Then it goes to the cows, the meditation. And we will end our evening by the last verse. I have now jumped over a few verses because I do hope that you will read the verses on your own. I will end the verse. This is a very nice end. Now please hear something wonderful. Are you ready? Madhavananda. Wonderful. Are you ready? Now please hear something wonderful. As if what we have heard already is not wonderful. Now please hear something wonderful. When he, Krishna, vibrates his flute, Vajas, bulls, deer and cow, standing in groups at a great distance, are all captivated by the sound, and they stop chewing the food in their mouth and cock their ears. Stunned, they appear as if asleep or like figures in a painting. There is something. These cows and bulls are so attached to Lord Krishna that when they hear his flute, everything stops. We hear that the cows in Vrindavan are still standing in the direction of Mathura. When Krishna, the day Krishna left Vrindavan, early in the morning, he went one last time into the cow barns. He knew he would leave Vrindavan. Akrura would come, take him out of Vrindavan, and from that moment on, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan would only do one thing, that is, ecstatically meditate about Krishna and cry. From the house of Mother Yashoda and Nanda, a big river was flowing. A canal was there. This canal was filled with the tears of Nanda Baba and Yashoda. So Krishna knew that he would leave the inhabitants of Vrindavan to do what? Can Krishna leave the devotees? No. Krishna apparently left to enter into their hearts and stay there and play in their hearts with each one. But he left, in another sense. So then Krishna, knowing this, he went one last time to his dear beloved cows and bulls. And he went to the cows and bulls and gave each one, from his own loving hand, some grass. Now up till this time, the cows have only this grass in their mouth, because it is so valuable for them that they do not want to chew it up and swallow it. They just have it and keep it. And they think, what is the use of us eating more grass and producing milk if Krishna cannot drink it? Then we don't want to produce milk. No need. So they stand with the grass in the mouth, and they look in the direction where they saw Krishna last, waiting that he would come. And he's coming. Every day, from morning till evening, he's playing in the temple of their hearts, in their own hearts.
This is a great secret. He has not left though. He's entered. But they are so much in love. They always cry for Krishna, even though he's there. I don't know if you ever were truly in love. When you see the beloved, I mean, we are now, well, most of us are grihasthas, and they, you know, then there is a state of being so emotional where you just are so happy to see that person. Normally it doesn't happen in Kali Yuga, but in because the relationships are so, whatever they are. But I think we can imagine there's so much joy and happiness that you just cry, look at the other person, woohoo, nectar. so this is a reflection, a very shadow reflection. How these cows and bulls, they just hear Krishna and just cry, start to cry, stop everything, nectar. This is love. My dear devotees, without even knowing it, we have entered the kingdom of love. Tim, what do you think? Dobro. Huh? Yes. 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 So. All right. We will now sing another Hare Krishna, and then I will let you go. Then we have around 8 o'clock. That is. Then I will give you some prasad. If anyone, if any of you have to go, now it is a good time. Maybe. Govinda Mohini, I can request you to be there. If some devotees have to go, you can give them prasad. If you have to go, Govinda Mohini will give you prasad.